On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I have a Zoom meeting later this afternoon. I'm trying to decide which pants not to wear. You don't have to wear pants when you're at a Zoom meeting. It can be a very important meeting, very consequential to your career, and you don't even have to wear pants. This is America. It's Monday morning, or Monday afternoon, or Monday night. I don't know what it is. I can't tell. I got the curtains drawn here in the studio, so I don't know. But thanks for being here. I appreciate it. We're going to have a good time for about 30 minutes. Going to open your eyes, then I'm going to close them. If it sounds like I just complain about things and do nothing else, you're very observant. But the fact is that I complain out of love. I do. I do everything out of love. I didn't complain when I was a kid. I thought everything was going to be wonderful. I didn't complain as a young adult because I was too busy trying to find myself. I couldn't find myself anywhere. And, you know, the chasing down people and dating and, you know, I was busy. I was just very busy. Then when I became a middle-aged adult, I realized, hey, wait a minute here. I got some complaining to do. Because the older you get, the more you realize the deal, you know. When I was younger, my parents paid for everything. I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have a car. I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't have to worry about going to the supermarket and buying the food. I didn't have any concept of that. My biggest challenge was like at 4 o'clock trying to go outside and play with a friend for 10 minutes. That was it. I mean, nothing. Things have changed. You'll see. If you're a young person, you'll see. Mark my words. When you hit 50 years old, you'll say to yourself, my God, that talk show host Ron, he was right. Do you ever get the feeling sometimes you just want to sit in a chair and yell as loud as you can, leave me alone. Stop making me do things. Stop trying to mold my attitude. Leave me alone. I know you do. I know you do. This is where we meld on this program. This is where we find common ground. This is like Congress in a way. We might be on both sides of the aisle, on opposite sides, politically, whatever, but we're going to find common ground, and that's the suck factor. when two people get together and they start complaining about things, they form a bond. I'm serious, man. Yeah. When two people are talking and they find something of common interest and they talk about it, it's stimulating for a few minutes. But when you're complaining about something, that's a lifelong relationship. You know what you complain about most of all when you get older? Your health. Yeah, and that's pretty sad. It really is. Your health. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Fine, Al. How you feeling? Well, my back yesterday, I don't know, I got up and I couldn't move around too much. Yeah, me too. I got problems in my neck. When I turn my head like to the side, especially to the right, it hurts on the left, and I don't know if I should see a doctor. Yeah, me too. Me too, Bob. Me too, Bill. Me too, Jim. By the way, notice that I only use names that are three letters long, because those are common names. The smaller number of letters in a name, the more common the name is. Bob, Joe, Ron, Bill. You're when you go to Bill, you're getting into the four letter category. You know, Dick. By the way, if your name is Richard, why in the world would you go to Dick? Why would you let somebody call you that? There might have been a time in history where that would be just fine. I mean, there was no King Dick. There were a lot of King Richards, but not. I don't think there was one King Dick. Not in that sense. Why would you go in that? Why would you do that? Why? Tell me. Why would you purposely have people call you Dick? Of course, that is a word that has grown to mean something other than somebody's name. There's a company, Dick's Sporting Goods. I know, I don't get it either. I'm not sure. There's a BJ's Wholesale. Why would you name a kid Billy Joe or something like that, but insist on referring to them with the initials BJ? You know what that stands for in today's modern, sexually overdriven, ridiculous world. Where can I get a BJ Wholesale? Over there in that warehouse. You see what I'm saying? Why? Why would you go there? BJ is not really your name. Dick is not really your name. Why would you go there? I met a guy once whose name was actually Skip. It was not a nickname. I don't even know why Skip would be a nickname. Hey, you want to go see that guy over there? Nah, I don't want to skip it. Just skip it. That's a good name for him. Just skip seeing him. Yeah, it's a good name for him. Skip? What the hell? What are you doing? Parents have to be very careful what they name their children, because that's going to follow them for the rest of their lives. They can change their name somewhat, but it's a lot of trouble. Got to go through a lot of ribbon in school first before you decide to change your name. A lot of shaming. A lot of PTSD, so to speak. Names are, they're cruel. Kids are cruel. Kids are awfully cruel people. I don't know who made them like that. Kids say things that are degrading and horrible. But you can't yell at them. If a kid calls you fat, you can't turn around and call that kid fat, because that's mental abuse. To call an adult fat, that's not mental abuse. But to do it to a child, that's mental abuse. Well, then shut the kid up from saying it in the first place. A child must know what the filters are. And you see, that's our problem today. That's what I'm complaining about. No filters. No filters. You got to have some filters. Here are the filters. Respect. Got to be respect involved. Even if you're downing somebody and disagreeing, you can still respect their opinion. I know it's difficult. Give it a shot. I know it's hard to do. It's called being civil. I know you don't understand that. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general. Respect. Civil. Don't hurt other people's feelings. Don't let your life invade somebody else's. Everybody needs their personal space. When you do something, keep in mind how it's affecting other people. Oh, Ron, that sounds so flowery. No, it's civility is what it's called. Now, I'm not into the Ten Commandments. I only know two or three of them. All I know is I'm not supposed to have sex with my neighbor. I'm not going to do that anyway because that can be complications. I figured that one out on my own. The rest of them, I'm not too sure of the commandments. I don't know. Although, they're called morals, and I do respect those. If you have that foundation, you're pretty much well set up to live in society. If you don't have that foundation, you're screwed. And that's where we find ourselves today, in the screwed category. Because we lack all those foundations, all those filters that allow us to get along with the rest of the people on the planet. And I don't know if you've noticed lately, there's a lot of people on the planet. And most of them are annoying. Now, I wouldn't call somebody annoying to their face, but behind their back, it's a circus for me. Life has become a circus sideshow. It has. And you know it. Sit in the chair. Sit in the room by yourself, turn the lights down, and yell out, "Leave me alone. Let me live my life in some form of happiness, and leave me alone." Not hard to figure out. It's the wish of every human being. And please, when you raise your children, you know, those little things that run around with the small heads, those children, raise them with what Ron calls the necessary social filters. Otherwise, the worst, I'm telling you from experience, and you know, because you had the experience too. School molds you. Your parents mold you. Your childhood, which encompasses school and your parents, that is the molding mechanism in life. And no matter how old you get after that, whatever hurt or whatever trauma you went through as a child will stay with you the rest of your life. You can go to a therapist all you want. If that's where you want to put your money, that's your business. But what's embedded inside of you are those childhood experiences. That molds your life. They don't go away. They don't stop hurting. They can make you stronger, or they can make you weak throughout your life. That's the choice that's made. They can make you stronger, or they can make you weaker, but you can't get rid of those feelings. They are there. So parents, be very careful. Your kids, don't forget that. But you got to give your kids direction, and you got to set them up with the boundaries and the filters. It's like changing the filters on your heating and air conditioning system every season. Some people do it every season. Some people didn't know you're supposed to change the filters and have never changed them. That analogy has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So forget what I just said. Anyway, I have a guest coming up. I love this guest. She's been with me for a while on this show. Every few months we talk to her. She's phenomenal. She's an associate editor with National Geographic Kids. National Geographic is a publication that we have grown up with. It is a phenomenally wonderful publication. It's not given enough credit. Here's the funny thing about National Geographic, and it's absolutely true, so don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. People who collect National Geographic, because it is such an incredibly beautiful magazine, and when you're younger, it has the women from the third world countries and Africa and all that running around with their tits hanging out, and even that is useful. But people think through their lives, if they save National Geographic, keep every one of them, then they have great value someday. Answer is that they don't, because everybody does that. So, I mean, maybe there's a little value to it, but nothing like what you think it is, believe me. You're just taking up space in your abode when you save those things. It's like saving the whales. I love those animals. I think they're wonderful and majestic, but I can't save them. I have no place to put them. My closets are full with old hats and like coats that I never wear. I don't know where to save those things. Do I have to get a rental unit or something to save the whales in it? Then you got to fill it up with water so they don't die. I can't save them. Leave that to the people who are, you know, into that stuff. The aquariums and the oceanographers and that kind of thing. Anyway, I've gotten so far off the point it's not funny. So my guest is indeed, she's involved in these National Geographics. And this National Geographic Kids series is incredible. It's an education for a child that they couldn't possibly even come close to getting in school. And it's an education that you can give to your kids with the book, with the magazine, and enjoy them together. So I think she's a wonderful person. I mean, I don't know her personally. Don't get me wrong. I don't know her personally. But we've talked through interviews many times before. Anyway, before we do that, we're going to take a commercial break. And then we're going to say hello to my guest. Again, I think you will find quite enjoyable. But first, there's this.
Hi, I'm Gary Filkington, founder, owner, and operator of Filkington Gender Warehouse in picturesque West Bridgewater. We've got genders for all occasions here, for sale, lease, or hourly rental. There's no need whatsoever for you to agonize over what gender floats your proverbial boat. You can choose from one or more of our selection of over 30,000 government-certified genders of the highest quality. Come on in and talk to one of our qualified gender specialists, or feel free to browse around in our vast three-story gender showroom. Whether you're a boy or a girl or a genuflecting peach pit or whatever, you're guaranteed to find a gender that'll show the world you're something special. And while you're here, if you gotta use the can, it's open season, baby. Go wherever your spirit takes you. Filkington Gender Warehouse is open weekdays till 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. on Saturday for your late-night gender action. Surprise your friends, piss off your parents, get special treatment at your job with a brand new Filkington Gender Warehouse. We identify as being at 367 East Route 43 in West Bridgewater, so maybe go there.
Christina Sauer joins us now. She is involved with National Geographic Kids, and this is a new one. This is Why the Human Body. Which is fascinating. We should know about our human bodies here. Let me say off the top, thanks for being here, first of all. And secondly, National Geographic Kids, I don't buy it. I think it's National Geographic Everybody, because every time I talk to National Geographic Kids, it's a book that I want. So it doesn't really, but that's okay. You can call it what you want.
Oh, I love that. Well, and honestly, we're all kids at heart, to be fair. We all love still that sense of curiosity and learning, which is kind of the what's the heart of our brand. So with Why the Human Body, This book is the sister to a larger book called Why, and it's over 1,111 answers to everything. Mm-hmm. And we had such success with that book. And one of the chapters was on the human body that we thought, why not make it even more in depth and go into more subjects that kids love? So these are just broken down into five like your body parts.
Yeah.
To tell kids everything they need to know, from anatomy to something that growth and the future of their bodies.
It's great. I mean, it's every parent's dream, because they don't know the answer to these questions that their kids are asking. So now,
well, honestly, that's how I felt too. I was like, this is the perfect book for when that kid, your kid or your student comes to you and says, hey, why is this way? Or like, what are scabs? Why do I throw up? And you don't know the answer. Or you've been told, we do some Mythbusters. You've been told something like, our entire lives, that your tongue, you can taste different taste on different parts of your tongue, and they're like, no, actually you can't. Your tongue, you can taste everything from sour to sweet all over your tongue.
It's amazing. When I was a little kid, the only thing I picked up about my human body somehow, and I had heard it from somebody else, that there are living things in my eyelashes and in my eyebrows. It freaked me out. And it's kind of the last question I ever asked about my body. Do you know, is that true? Are there things living in our eyebrows and things like that?
You know, it's funny, because as humans, you think, oh, we are isolated, we're by ourselves. Yes. We are the only living thing on our body. But everything from our eyelashes to even our gut, I think we're learning more about like our GI tract, and that there are bacteria, and these aren't bad things, and they live inside of us, and they do the things they need to do so that we can survive.
A lot of it gets a little creepy, because you don't really don't expect that. Or is our existence, are we living on somebody's eyebrows?
Fortunately, that I can tell you with absolute certainty, we are not. But that would be a sci-fi film.
Yeah. Why is our blood red?
So it's funny, because this is a question I remember having as a kid, and many adults too, because there's this thought that when you look at your veins or your arteries on your arms or parts of your body, they look blue or green. So you assume that that's the color of your blood, and that's just the color of your vein or artery. Inside is composed of lots of different blood cells. And in those blood cells is this thing called hemoglobin. And hemoglobin just happens to be red. So that's why we have red blood. But not all animals actually have red blood. We do see some things like octopus will have blue blood. And same reason, whatever the blood cells are composed of, you're going to see that color shine through.
Wow. Give me a couple of other examples of things that we probably didn't know about ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. So one of the things, when we were talking about those eyelashes and eyebrows, sometimes we also wonder, why do we even have them? For eyebrows, you know, sometimes we see in animation, we use them a lot for like expressions, which is what they do. They do tell us a lot about how you're feeling, or we can interact just with our eyebrows. But the truth is, what they were there for is to block sunlight and direct sweat and rain from your eyes.
Oh.
And if you think about it, it makes sense, right? You're like, oh, wait, that's why it kind of lots of condensation shows up when I'm sweating or if it's like really rainy and it directs around it. And your eyelashes are simply there to keep the dust and dirt and water out of your eyes.
Wow. Incredible. And the nose is also a filtration system, right?
Yeah, and those have little hairs too. So they kind of operate very similarly. And a lot of the hairs, especially inside our ears and nose, and on the outside of our eyes, do all the same. Our body's very smart. It knows, okay, this is how I need to keep things out. If it gets past it, I have a reaction, like a sneeze, to send out that. There's also, I mean, throwing up, right? You think, oh, I get this bug, and that's why I throw up. Your body actually can naturally just vomit, because it's trying to expel anything that's inside your body that's not supposed to be there. It's always trying to protect you.
That I get. I mean, not that I do it all the time. I mean, I understand it.
No, but it makes sense. But our body's natural function is to protect it. So, I mean, even things that you and I don't think about, like when we eat a sour lemon, we like pucker up immediately and we think that's just because it's a lemon and it's sour. And it's actually because our bodies don't know the difference between extreme acidic foods and very just normal, healthy, or not dangerous foods. Uh-huh. So, and instantly, they will always pucker. And so sometimes even when you see a lemon, because you've had that response before, your body already tenses up.
Interesting. Wow. I guess to me, the most fascinating part of the body is the brain. I mean, I mean, it's just unimaginable. I guess you have to be a scientist or some kind of medical whiz to understand what's going on up there. But with all the electronic impulses and brains, that's amazing to me. I assume that this is covered in the book as well.
Oh, we have a whole section on the brain. We talk about why is the brain so wrinkly to, you know, like, why does music make me move? And why do I get excited when I hear music?
Yeah.
And even what the brain is made of, but actually it's made of a lot of fat, which many people don't know. Yeah, it is. And it weighs about 3 pounds, which is massive. We also talk about, like you say, all of those reactions between it and those electrons that are happening.
Yeah.
The reason why our brains are so wrinkly is simply that surface area. If the more it wrinkles, the closer those parts of the brain are to each other, and more reactions can take place.
Wow. Okay. And some of go on, please.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and speaking of that, the reason why we also know that is the person that we know who had the most wrinkles, like more than any other human, was Albert Einstein.
Really? But you, but you don't find that out until after.
Yeah. You won't know if you're brilliant.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. Well, no one's going to tell you either, but other people will know, I guess. It's a fascinating book. And as I said, you can call it a kid's thing, but it's for everybody. It's great. I have the entire series because this is my learning mechanism, oddly enough. So if teachers in school were only like these books, I think life would be fascinating and kids would just love to learn. Congratulations on this. The book's available everywhere, quite obviously.
Yes. Well, and thank you so much. We love to hear that people love our books. We enjoy making them, and we really love adding some quirky facts and activities, making it interactive and just fun, because that's the reality is all of these things are fun to learn about because we experience them every day. Well, and you can get these books wherever books are sold.
Cool. Is there a website where we can find out all the books that are available through this?
Yeah, so we sell into many different markets, so anywhere from your Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Right.
You also could go on Shop Disney, has a lot of our books as well.
Okay, or just Google National Geographic Kids, and it's probably all over the place. Okay.
Oh, and they'll pop up immediately. Yep.
Yes, I'm sure it will. It's great. I mean, and the other thing that we didn't talk about, but is really the biggest point to me when we talk about National Geographic Kids, is it's a bonding mechanism between kids and their parents. If you do this with them and go through the book with them, these are moments that you can actually share, and that's kind of what it's all about. Okay.
Oh, it really is.
All right. Hey, you've been a pleasure. I always enjoy speaking to you. Thank you so much, Christina. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I don't know how you do this. I really don't. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Yeah, I do this every single weekday. I know. I've been doing this for 30 years. Either on broadcast radio, doing a morning show. For about 20 years I did that. Oh my God. And then expanding into the podcast world of ridiculousness. But yet, it is what I must do. So, there you have it. Now I'm not only on the radio, I'm on platforms. Oh, man. Sounds like I'm waiting for the subway train to show up. Anyway, have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow until that time arrives.
I wish you peace.